I know some of you are not Aldi shoppers. When we first moved here, we were not sure what Aldi was all about. We went with a little hesitancy at first after some people encouraged us and told us that that was a great place to be. We went in just kind of with a look and see kind of attitude. And as we were there for a while, we kind of tested a few things. We tested the roasts, first of all. They weren't quite homegrown like we were used to, but the roasts were pretty good. And we slowly branched out and tried a few different things. Now, you know there are two things that you really can't buy a cheap imitation of. The first one is peanut butter, and the second one is ketchup. We had heard several people tell us that Aldi ketchup was good, but we just couldn't bring ourselves to do that. We still have not tried the peanut butter because we're a Jif family and a Reese's family, and we just can't try the no-name brand yet. But anyway, we tested the ketchup, and we found that the ketchup was pretty good, and we actually prefer the Aldi ketchup over the name brand. The mini wheats that are there as well, we prefer those over the name brand, and a few other things, we prefer the Aldi brand over the name brand, but it took us a little while to do that. This morning, we continue our journey through 2 Corinthians, and we arrive today at the edge of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 5 through 15. And in this passage, as we have been making our journey through, we've seen Paul defending his ministry, and especially since chapter 10, we've really seen Paul defend his ministry. And he becomes a little bit more stern in chapter 10 and here in chapter 11 as well, pretty stern in his defense of his ministry. In this passage, we see Paul declaring that he's not inferior to the so-called super apostles. In fact, the super apostles, he goes on to call them false apostles. So this morning, we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to begin in verse 5. If you want to follow along with me, I'm reading in the English Standard Version. But this is 2 Corinthians 11, verse 5, and it says this, "Indeed, I consider that I'm not in the least inferior to the super apostles. Even if I'm unskilled in speaking, I'm not so in knowledge. Indeed, in every way we've made this plain to you in all things. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted? Because I preach God's gospel to you free of charge. I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you. And when I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need. So I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be silenced in the regions of Achaia. And why? Because I do not love you? God knows that I do. And what I am doing, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." Now, as we look at these 15 verses here, these verses 5 through 15, there are three headings that we want to use to kind of guide us through and lead us through this. The first thing we see in verses 5 through 6 is Paul says, "I'm not inferior." The second thing we see in verses 7 and 11, Paul says, "I'm not a burden." And in verses 12 through 15, Paul says, "I'm not ceasing." Now, as we look at these three headings, they're going to guide us through and lead us through this. But before we dive into this, let's just pause and pray for a moment. Great God in heaven, we're grateful that you are the great God in heaven, that there is no other. And Lord, we pray that as we open your word this morning, that you'd open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us, Lord. And I pray that as we go through this morning, Lord, we would hear from you. So just open our hearts and our minds and let us hear from you this morning. And we're grateful for your son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Now, the first thing we see here is in verse 5. We see Paul is not inferior. It says in verse 5, indeed, I consider that I'm not at the least inferior to these super apostles. Now, as we see this word here for super apostles, this is not a reference to the 12. Paul is not speaking about them, but we do see Paul using just a little bit of sarcasm here. Evidently, some of these false teachers, they were held in very high regard. They were held in high regard by the people of Corinth. They were also held in high regard by themselves. They were very big on elevating themselves. We saw a couple of weeks ago in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, Paul said this, not what we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. So Paul says, hey, that's what they're doing, is commending themselves. They're building themselves up. They are super apostles. And Paul let them know that he was not inferior to them. They thought Paul was inferior to them. Some of the people of Corinth thought Paul was inferior. But Paul shares, I'm not inferior to them. He says in verse 6, even if I'm unskilled in speaking, I am not so in knowledge. Indeed, in every way we have made this plain to you in all things. They had accused Paul of being unskilled in his speech. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 10 says this, they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is of no account. Paul said that may be true. He didn't claim to be a great orator. He spoke of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. When I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, Paul may not have had the same oratorical skills that the other super apostles had. But as we look at Paul, he didn't have the same philosophical mindset, the same philosophical training. He wasn't trained in rhetorical speech like his opponents were. And they must have honored that rhetorical type of speaking. But that doesn't mean that Paul was inadequate in any way in his speaking. Now, all you have to do is just look at the churches that Paul went on to plant and to build. Look at the work that he had done. He certainly may not have been a super orator, but yet, as we look at him, he was a very effective preacher. 1 Corinthians 1:23, he said, we preach Christ and Christ crucified. That's all that Paul did. He didn't worry about those other things. He proclaimed Christ, and that's what he did. That's what he desired to do, and he was not lacking in knowledge on that subject at all, and people's lives were changed because of him preaching Christ. No matter how eloquent he was, he preached Christ. He had great spiritual knowledge, and that was what made an impact. And so Paul says, you may think me inferior, but I'm not inferior. And Paul went on to say that I'm not a burden, and I won't be a burden. Look at verse 7. He said, did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached God's gospel to you free of charge? Because Paul did not charge them, they accused Paul of having an amateur status. Evidently, gifted speakers charge money to speak, but Paul did not. Paul came into Corinth. He worked as a tent maker, and he sought to support himself as a tent maker. This is Acts chapter 18, verse 1. It says, after this, Paul left Athens, went to Corinth. He found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. So Paul went to Corinth, and so he could proclaim the gospel to them for free. He did not want to be a burden to them, and he worked as a tent maker. Paul says and shares in 1 Corinthians 9 that he had the right to be compensated for his preaching of the gospel, but he chose not to exercise that right. He did not want to be seen as a shyster. He didn't want to be seen as a snake oil salesman. He did not want any way for the gospel to be hindered. He didn't want them to see the gospel as his way of making money. Paul was in a lose-lose situation here, really. If he came in and proclaimed the gospel for free, they were accusing him of not being eloquent enough. They were accusing him of just being an amateur. But if he had come in and proclaimed the gospel with a cost, then they would have accused him of just being a prophet for profit. And so he's in a lose-lose situation. Now notice what he says in verse 8. I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you. Now, as we think about this rob, the word that he uses here is a pretty strong word. It's not a simple shoplifting kind of word, but to rob, it means to go in and to plunder and to take everything. That was the idea that he was using here. And they thought he was an amateur because he didn't get paid for speaking. He was getting paid, but it was from other churches. Corinth should have been taking care of Paul. 1 Corinthians 9:11, if we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? They definitely had reaped some spiritual things from Paul. And Paul says, that's not really too much to reap physical stuff from you as a result of that. But Paul did not ask them to support him. And it's amazing that as Paul traveled through, he traveled to Philippi, he shared the gospel with Philippi. He left Philippi and went to Thessalonica. The people of Philippi supported him while he was in Thessalonica. Then he left Thessalonica to go to Corinth, and the people of Thessalonica supported him while he was in Corinth. So previous ministries were now supporting him, and as he's there in Corinth, he's being supported by them. Instead of the church of Corinth supporting him, other churches are supporting him. And notice what he says in verse 9. When I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need. So I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way. Paul did not want to compromise the gospel. He did not want the legitimacy of the gospel questioned. Paul did not want to burden them in any way. It's ironic that the Macedonians, who were in extreme poverty, supported Paul, and the people of Corinth, who were in somewhat of a wealthier city, did not support him. 2 Corinthians 8:2 makes mention of this. It says, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity. And they were very generous, even though they were in extreme poverty. Now notice what Paul says in verse 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be silenced in the regions of Achaia. And why? Because I do not love you? God knows that I do. Paul was not ashamed of sharing the gospel. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, and he was not ashamed of sharing the gospel for free. He didn't come to make money. Paul was not an in-it-for-profit prophet. He was a non-profit prophet. Paul was not going to change his policy because of their accusations, because they didn't think it was a good idea. That didn't change what Paul thought. Paul knew it was a good idea to be there proclaiming the gospel. And they kind of turned this around on him and said, well, you don't love us. But man, time and time again, through 2 Corinthians especially, we have seen the love that Paul has for the people of Corinth. And he simply says, God knows that I do. God knew Paul's heart. God knew exactly where Paul was coming from, and God knew Paul's burden. So Paul says, I'm not inferior. I'm seeking not to be a burden. And the last thing that Paul says is, I'm not ceasing. Look at verse 12. And what I'm doing, I will continue to do, in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms
as we do.
These false prophets, these false apostles, their pride was busting out. They were boasting that they were on the same plane as the Apostle Paul. I think it's so amazing as you look at this, how they ran the Apostle Paul through the mud, claiming him not to be worth anything, but then they were boasting that they were on the same plane as the Apostle Paul. But they were taking money, they were seeking to make money. The false apostles, they only cared about money. Their greed was their motivator. The Apostle Paul, he was motivated by the love of Christ, wanting to see people saved, but their motivation was different. They were not serving on the same terms as the Apostle Paul was. Paul was not going to be silent until the actions of these false prophets was brought into light. Now, Paul goes on to expose the false prophets. Look at verse 13. He says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." Paul doesn't mince words here. He doesn't beat around the bush. It's interesting that this term, false apostles, is used nowhere else in the Bible. It's only used right here. He says these false apostles, they were deceitful workmen. They were the ones who were the shysters, claiming authority that they did not have, claiming honor that they did not deserve. They were deceitful workmen. They disguised themselves as apostles of Christ. These guys were wolves in sheep's clothing, looking to prey on the people of Corinth and take them captive. Verse 14 says, "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." Satan is the master of disguises. He is deceitful. He is cunning. And we saw Paul mention him in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. "I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." That's exactly what Satan was trying to do, is lead people away from a pure devotion to Christ. And Paul says, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Jesus came into this world as the light of the world. It says in John 8, verse 12, Jesus again spoke and said, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Satan comes in as darkness and disguises himself as light. He's clearly not light. He is the prince of darkness. He's deceitful in every way, and he does his best to draw people away from the light and to cause people to walk in darkness. That's what he desires to do, and he disguises himself that way so that people will follow him. If Satan came in and revealed himself as he is, no one would follow him, but he comes in disguising himself as light, and people follow him. Now look at verse 15. It says, "So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." Paul is saying the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. These false apostles are not servants of Christ. They disguise themselves as servants, but they are nothing more than apostles of darkness. These false apostles are proclaiming a different Jesus. They are proclaiming a different gospel, and they seek to mislead people and lead them into the darkness rather than lead them into the light. Peter warned about this in his epistle. This is 2 Peter 2, verse 1. It says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of the truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep." As we read this and think this, Peter is pointing out exactly who they are, that they themselves will be swift and lead people away with destructive heresies, denying the master. We see that going on, and that's what Paul is warning the people about in Corinth with these false apostles is that same kind of mindset that Peter was warning about. Now notice the end of verse 15 there. It says their end will correspond to their deeds. That's what Peter shared at the end of 2 Peter 2 verse 3. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle. Their destruction is not asleep. They will be rewarded for their deeds. Those rewards and their condemnation will come in accordance with their deeds. And Paul is not going to cease proclaiming and sharing and pointing out the fact that these false apostles are nothing more than fake Christ apostles. So there you have it. Paul saying, I'm not inferior. Paul saying, I'm not a burden. And Paul saying, I'm not ceasing. So what do we take home from this? I think there's a couple of things that we can think about. And I was just meditating on this the other day as I thought about this. The Word of God is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. And as we think about all of the different things that come in, if they don't match up with the truth, then we should dismiss them very quickly, because the Word of God has been given to us so that we would know what the truth is. It is our plumb bob. And if it doesn't match up with the truth, then it's not square. Some people look at eloquence and think those who are eloquent are really where the truth comes from. But eloquence does not equal truth. Just because they speak eloquently doesn't mean they speak the truth. So we don't need to listen to how they share. We need to listen to what they share. It doesn't matter how eloquent they are. If they don't share the truth, then we have to dismiss it. We can't accept it. And I think another thing we need to be worried about is fancy titles. Just because someone has fancy titles doesn't equate to the truth. Sometimes we see books, and because they're in the Christian bookstore, because they're on the New York Times bestseller list, we think it must be good. But, you know, that doesn't mean anything. If it contradicts the Word of God, if it doesn't match up with the Word of God, it doesn't matter how many doctors and PhDs they have. If it doesn't match up with the Word of God, it's simply not the truth. And I think the last thing we need to take home from this is that we need to be sure to test and follow up on red flags. There have been times when I have heard something and a red flag has kind of flickered and I've wondered, why does that seem off? And upon further looking and diving into it, I found that it is a false teaching. And sometimes we have those red flags and we just say, well, you know what, he's got a PhD, he looks good, he's got great hair, he must be right, I must be wrong. But you know, I think sometimes the Holy Spirit does just nudge us and say, hey, you know what, that doesn't match with the Word of God. And when that red flag goes up, we need to investigate. Go to someone that we trust who knows the Word of God. If we don't know for ourselves, ask them. Dive into the Word of God for ourselves and find out the true answer of what it means. Because sometimes when we think about those red flags, we have the Holy Spirit teaching us and showing us and training us. And so we do need to be aware of those red flags. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, and Lord, thank you for your word. And I do just pray, Lord, as we think about the Apostle Paul, as we think about his burden, as we think about his desire, grateful for him, Lord, grateful for his willingness to stand and proclaim the truth to the people of Corinth and make sure that they were on the right path. And Lord, as a result of that, we have these letters from him that we can hang on to make sure we're not on the wrong path. And so I'm grateful for that. I do pray, Lord, that you would just guide us and direct us, Lord, and help us to stand on your word, recognizing your word is truth, and help us to realize that truth. Lord, grateful for who you are, especially grateful for your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Now, as we close this morning and as we think about our knees at nine this week, let's pray for one another that we would be aware of wolves that come in sheep clothing. Because as we look around us, we often see those wolves that are in sheep clothing, but sometimes we miss them. So we really do need to be aware.